I was off camping the end part of last week, and so I was a bit slow to all the news and buzz surrounding the royal wedding this weekend. The most prominent piece from this great to-do across the pond was the preaching of an American, the Most Reverend Michael Curry, presiding bishop and primate of the Episcopal Church. His wedding sermon for the royal couple was plastered all over social media, and being a fan of such things as sermons, I thought I'd give it a look. But as I was out in a soccer field watching our oldest chase a ball around as part of a mob of elementary humanity, I chose not to watch the sermon, but to just read the text instead. After giving it a read, I didn't get all the fuss. It was a nice wedding sermon, better than most wedding sermons, but I didn't think it was as big of a deal as people were making it out to be. Then when I returned home and taking a moment for myself, I watched the replay of the sermon, and everything changed. It dawned on me that the text by itself was poignant. There was no life in the page as I scrolled through it on my phone. The text itself was like a valley of dry bones. It had the skeletal structure one would expect from a wedding sermon, but it lacked breath, had no life in it. But when I watched the video of Bishop Curry's sermon, it was like a breath of fresh air had blown across my screen. The words took on new meaning. His message came alive. And the proclamation of a loving God and His redeeming Son came through, stretching my imagination and pointing all who heard it towards a place of hope, a place where love is the way. It was such a stark contrast from what I had experienced with just the written word. On the page, there appeared paragraphs of thoughtful, well-constructed words. But on the screen, it was ruach. It was spirit-filled. Is this not what Pentecost is all about? Being filled with the Spirit? Filled with the Holy Spirit in order to proclaim the good news of Christ to all the ends of the earth, so that every knee shall bow and all shall worship the Lord. Does not Peter, in the words of the prophet Joel, declare that God will pour out the Spirit, God's very own, upon all flesh? Not just some flesh, but all flesh. And this pouring out of the Spirit has a specific, determined purpose. Prophecy, to prophesy to the works of our God and to what God has done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, Pentecost is an interesting parallel to the vision experienced by the prophet Ezekiel. In the vision, he is transported by the hand and Spirit of the Lord, set down in this valley of dry bones, bones upon bones, dead as a doornail. He is instructed to prophesy to these bones, to promise to them reconstruction, breath, and new life. It is in his exegesis of this vision that we come to know that these are not just bodies of some unknown people, but a specific people, the house of Israel. A house cut off from the temple and without hope. this people, these exiles, are as dead and buried. In the power of the Spirit, however, God opens their graves and restores them to life. The vision of Ezekiel is one that holds the promise of God's return of Israel to her land and to restored life as a people in God's care and redemption. It is a similar prophecy that Peter proclaims to this international gathering of Israelites on that Pentecost day recorded in the book of Acts, a proclamation of the gospel of what God has done in Christ Jesus and a pouring out of the Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of life, for their benefit to see, to hear, and to be filled as well, to be imbued by God, despite their circumstances, with the life that only God can give, a life sustained by hope, hope realized now in the present and in a future promise, a promise that a life of faith clings to. And it is essential that this life given by God is one of hope. The imagery of the Valley of Dry Bones is one of the most contemporary of ancient images. It represents life outracing its limits, the abandonment of hope, and tragedy and desolation. The prophet's vision is bound to our reality. It is as real as Auschwitz or Hiroshima. It is as real as Syria or the Sudan. It is as real as Columbine, Sandy Hook, or Santa Fe. It must be a life of hope, a life filled with breath and life-giving words. Or for all appearances, we would be nothing more than flesh without spirit, unable to proclaim God's promises and God's gracious love to the valleys to which we are led. The promise of Pentecost, my brothers and sisters, is that these bones, our bones, the bones that were dead in sin, have been given new life by the virtue of God's grace in Christ Jesus. It is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, that all children of God may prophesy, may proclaim the good news of the gospel, and are enriched for this work and forgiven of sins through the gift of the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. The promise of Pentecost is that these bodies, our bodies, these bodies beloved of God, do not end up as whitewashed tombs housing those dry bones of Ezekiel's vision, bereft of all life, sinew, and spirit. That the Holy Spirit continues to breathe new life into this clay for God's work in the world. The promise of Pentecost is like a sermon about love and fire preached at a wedding. A sermon which on paper might be forgotten tomorrow, but preached to the heart by the Spirit, turns bodies and minds to the source of all love, God Almighty, and to the Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen.